Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Blackspiration Podcast. And just like RDJ? Just like RDJ, we're back with a vengeance, here to collect all the bags, and we are in our villain era. Our villain arc. I am one of your hosts, the infamous hood rat with the heart of gold himself, your friendly neighborhood shiesty man, your third favorite Washington behind Kerry and Denzel. There's no ranking order. Cortez Washington. I'm so happy to be back. So happy to be here. Had to take a quick break. Had to get myself reoriented with the world. And so now I'm back, and we're both back. We're everybody's back. So it's great.
Yeah.
And of course, I can't do this without my lovely co-host. Co-host, will you let the people know who you are?
Oh, yeah. Hello. Hi. My name is Aisha. That's what you can call me. I am the compassion-centric Renaissance woman, one half of this podcast now. And I am a variety streamer. I play games like League of Legends, Overwatch 2, and really anything that you can play with friends. And if you like to be weird, I have a fun community for you.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, the sound effects. Oh, yay. So excited.
You don't sound excited at all.
I'm so excited.
But, oh, man. Okay. So, on this episode, we are going to be chatting with a wonderful person, a advocate, a trailblazer in the field. And I want to give this person a proper introduction. They are a content creator. They are a member of DC3 or the Disabled Content Creators Collective, and also the Cloud Cabin, a stream team that celebrates and uplifts those who identify as asexual and aromantic. And it's also the team lead for Euphoria, the stream team of non-binary and gender non-conforming content creators. They are also a musician and potter, and you'll probably see them doing that on occasion on streams. Please show some love for Mictastic. I don't got a crowd one yet. I'm sorry.
Applause? That was the very first one you got?
Hey, I got a bunch of other stuff, but not that one. Oh, my God.
We've lost the plot.
How you doing, Mick?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm sorry you're in the middle of me and Asia's confrontation.
Okay, it's all good.
I didn't know we were in conflict, but I will know for now. Okay. I will know for the future. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mick, we're so happy to have you on the show. Can't wait to talk, you know, dive deep into like your origin story, how you got in the field. Also touch on our main topic today, which is like summer streaming and also being a person who is disabled and queer, as a queer creator and a disabled content creator, and really just talking about that, especially during the summer season where things are at its peak. But first, I really want to talk about what games have we been playing. So, Asia, what games have you been playing?
Oh, well, you know me. I do delve into League of Legends quite a bit. And if I would say quite a bit, I mean almost every day. I do have a problem, and I'm trying to quit. Hello, unfortunately, life just keeps on life. And when, you know, maybe when I get to be rich, I'll stop playing, right? Because I won't need to escape as much. But until then, the struggle is just so real, and I need it. And they also have a new swarm mode. Ah, it's so fun. It's so exciting. It's like Vampire Survivor, I think they said, or Vampire Rising, like one of those bullet hell kind of games. And I would not have expected. If you told me today there was a game like this, I would have been like, I'm not playing it. But I'm lost in the sauce. In fact, it has me in a chokehold. And I've also been playing Spider Solitaire, because you know me, I'm a classic girly. You know, I love me some solitaire. Yeah, those are my names.
There we go. Yeah. That's amazing. I'm glad to hear you're still dabbling. I want to know, how many hours do you have in League?
Oh, you can tell. There's a website for this. Oh, my God. I was just looking. So in 2023, I spent like 11,000 minutes, which is like 7.9 days playing League.
Straight up.
A lot of time.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
I would have never thought that. But it was essentially 0.4 hours a day. So every day I'm logged onto this game. And I'm not, it's not every day, but the frequency of it, you know, the average of it makes it every day. But that's insane. I really be doing something consistently. Wow. Wow. I'm living in the future.
Okay. That's what's up. And this, vampire. Yeah. Mick, what have you been doing? What have games you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door. It just came out. It's one of my favorite games. So it was nice getting to play the remake. I've also been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 14.
Oh, yeah.
It's the game that I can't stop playing. It's like I always put it down and then I always come back to it. But we just got a new expansion. So everybody's been coming back to it.
Yeah.
Also been playing Overwatch.
Overwatch.
And
nice.
We're getting a new support soon. So I'm going to have to come back. Again,
yeah.
Did you try Juno out
when I did
for the preview?
I only played her in training mode because I don't like playing Overwatch by myself. So
okay, that's good to know. Okay, we'll add each other up because listen, when I be on, I be on.
Hey, don't.
Don't listen to him because he sent it way too long ago, and I don't even think he accepted it. And then he'd be like, "Yeah, we're supposed to play together." And then what did he be on? First Ascendant?
I'll be playing no First Ascendant. I got more class than that.
It's one of them. Which ones do you? Let me see. I be seeing it sometimes. Be like Black Lumberjack playing this. You play more new games than anybody I ever met in my life. You be just in the sauce.
My ADHD is bad, y'all.
I'm telling you,
it is bad. And especially when like this games be on sale too. $8 game. It's a 60 hour game. $8. Yeah, I dabble in it a little bit. I don't care.
Summer sale will get you. Get all your money.
Yeah. But that's what's up. So. Like,
what about you? What have you been playing?
I was about to dive into y'all shit. Okay.
All right.
So, honestly, I've hopped on the MOBA train. I've been playing a lot. I've been playing Predecessor, which is the
third.
Yeah, that is fun. I didn't realize how much I actually like MOBAs. And the funny thing is like MOBAs make you it's funny how these correlate. MOBAs make you better at 2K. Because of your situational awareness, because you have to pay attention to the map and the people over there and the roles that you're playing. And so that like awareness perfectly translates to 2K, especially when you're just playing by yourself. You ain't playing like 5v5 with other folks. You're playing by yourself, playing teams, and it really keeps you up on that. I still can't make a shot, but I'm good at defense. So that's cool. But Predecessor is amazing. I really like Predecessor. I really want to get into it. One thing I love about it is that the game modes are long. And so like a 30 hour, I'm playing like 30 hour matches. I mean, not 30 hour, 30 minute matches.
I was like, what?
30 hours. I'm tripping. Yeah, for real. So 30 minute matches, which honestly, like, and they keep me invested the whole time and it makes you want to play more. And then you realize like, oh, I've been playing this for 4 hours, but like it adds up. It isn't like match after match after match. So that's been cool. And then just dibbling and dabbling in random stuff. I've picked up Star Wars Battlefront 2 because I like online multiplayer games, and that game is fun to be a sniper in because you can just do pop shots at the beginning of the match and just rank up and like build up all your points and go from there. And then I don't know what else. And I'm doing my second run through of Blasphemous. I really love Blasphemous. So
I've heard about that, but I haven't haven't played it, but I haven't seen any gameplay either. I just seen it popping up a little bit more.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. So, yeah. All right, y'all. Lovely. Love to hear people just in and out the games, in their favorites, out of their favorites.
I also like Predecessor. I do have that. And Predecessor is basically just FPS League. I want you to know.
Yeah, it is.
The Blueprint.
It is the Blueprint. I can't do League, though. League is just...
literally just FPS League.
League ain't appealing to me. I see it, I'd be like, oh, that's cool.
You're a hater down in your court, and that's fine.
I was in the beta for League, so.
You
what? I haven't played it in a while. I said I was in the beta for League, but I haven't played it in a while.
Oh, a beta? Oh, my God.
Oh,
that's so interesting to me because I think if I saw this game when I was like in university or something, I probably didn't understand the concept at all. Like,
yeah,
some A4 people playing with their door open. I'm like, what are you doing? Playing League of Legends, this new game, this so. Okay, bye. I'm about to go to get some food. Like, that's just so interesting. That's so long ago.
Yeah. You're a pioneer. You're a vet. You ain't new to this. You true to this. So I salute. I gotta salute when you see him. Oh, yeah. So, as you all know, it's summertime.
Yeah.
It's hot. It's thighs are out. Wow. People are out. Ice cream is okay to eat every day. I mean, that's all year round, but still, ice cream and the frozen treats, all the fast food versions of movies are out, so it's amazing. But the best thing about it is that we are in the midst of peak streaming time. And so I really want to just pick your brain, Mick, about that. But I know that we got to get through you as a person before we get into the topic, because we really want to highlight you and who you are, because you're such an amazing person. So I'm gonna kick it off to Asia to get this going though. So Asia, if you want to take the wheel.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what is your first gaming memory as a child that drew you to gaming?
Six years older than me.
If it's like not your like favorite hobby, like what?
Always watching them play games, and then I would cry because I would want him to teach me, and he wouldn't want to, but my mom would always make him do. So he taught me. We would play like Mario Kart, Super Mario Bros. Like Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo, but yeah. And then like Mega Man and all kinds of other stuff. I would say so, yeah. I like a lot of the games that I played when I was a kid. So like, right. I still play them.
And you do a lot of retro gaming now. Is that directly in correlation to that? Do you feel?
I'd probably say Mega Man X. Because it's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
what's your favorite retro game?
The newer Mega Man. It's not Mega Man. It's based on X.
What's the distinction?
I guess.
Like, what is the X distinction?
The successor to Mega Man. So, yeah.
Nice. Okay, period. Yeah. Little Mega Man lore. Tuck that away in my brain.
It feels like they told them, everybody's sick of seeing them old ass graphics. Come out with some new shit. It was like, fuck, all right, we got it. Yeah. So,
I love that.
Yeah.
That's dope. And I love that, like, here, like, I've never really met folks who've, like, play Super Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo. Like, I always hear about N64 first or anything like that. So that's a good, interesting perspective.
Well, kind of figured,
from that point, like, and building
pretty
up.
Much, you know.
So how did that like love for or like that
time,
interest of
so
games and that love for games transfer
games
into you becoming a content creator?
While I'm playing games or talk about what I'm doing, or it just felt like it was a natural transition, I guess. There are quite a few people.
Nice.
I don't know if he's still streaming.
Who gave you? Was there a person that gave
Lord,
you like that push to like
Link,
turn the camera on, or were you just like, let me give it a try?
He streamed for like last I saw, he had streamed for like 2,000 or something days, like every day, never stopped, just every single day. I don't know how he did it, because he was also a real estate person, so like he had like a day job and still came home, streamed every day, had a kid, you know, a partner. Like, I can barely go to school and stream, so like I don't know how he did it. But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? Who are you telling?
Yeah.
Who are you? Yeah. Literally, a drop of water will ruin my day. And I'm like, stream's canceled. Don't even worry about it. I'm not doing it. Bye. I'll see y'all next week. Like, and it's Monday. You know what? That's insane. 2,000 days in a row.
Oh,
my God.
I've learned a lot.
So what's like,
people.
What has been like one of the unexpected things,
like,
I guess, that you feel like you've
had
to learn
things,
along your content creation journey?
interesting. There's so many different types of people with different motivations and, you know, driving forces.
Period.
So, I don't know. Okay. Like, it's different. Like, I guess. No, like, content creators are different from, like, you know, just the average run-of-the-mill person. Like, yeah. So, like, yeah. And, like, having friends in content creation, it's just, I don't know, sometimes it feels like I'm in high school all over again. Yeah,
they're different from, like, an outside world professional.
Like, there's nice because, like, I've met some really cool people and forged some, like, lifelong bonds. But it's, yeah, I didn't expect it to be, I guess, so political, so to speak.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's actually a really good sentiment because you know what? The way people move to just be in alignment with people that are not about what they should be about.
It's weird. It's
I don't know. And sometimes I wonder, I'm like, is it obvious or is it not? Do people know what's going on here? Should I say something? I hate that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know you've had a couple of incidents where people like harassed you and done a lot of things in particular as a result of you not even in my opinion not even saying anything that would be an opinion like, but literally just
doesn't make sense
stating something in general
and you can have someone that going, says something that's completely like in response off the wall, like actually terrible and like no one says anything about it.
I feel like, or better way to say this, do you feel like that's what pushed you to be more of a advocate or more of like the person, the voice for folks or the voice for certain communities, for the communities you identify with? Cause like, you know, you have a very intersectional identity as a person, as a Black person, as a queer person, as someone who is neurodivergent. And,
I didn't really see
push to make you be like, all right, this shit is over with. I gotta say something.
Black people streaming. I don't know if it was just like where I was or like, I think the first, like Lord Lynx was the first like Black streamer that I ever followed. And then like through him, I found other Black streamers, but like, I was like, you know, I don't see that many, you know, Black streamers. I don't see like any Ace streamers. So like, I want people to know that like we're here and that we exist. And then through streaming, I met, you know, more people like me. I still think that there's, you know, there could be a lot more done to, I guess, emphasize, you know, Black streamers and Ace streamers and, you know, Aero streamers, disabled streamers, and so on and so forth. But I don't know. Everyone that I know is, I guess, putting in work. So
yeah,
maybe it'll change one of these days.
Yeah, for sure. That work is definitely a day in, a day out grind, to say the least. You know, and seeing folks who have been really come to the forefront, like, hey, Twitch, what the fuck? Like, you know, like, why aren't we out in front? You know, what's going on? You know, and having that platform and that space, and not just during the months of when you're supposed to be, where they feel like they, oh, we gotta find you now, you know, because of the months, rather than like, you know, all year round support and advocacy. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's and like you were saying too, I 1000% understand like how vitriol some of the people on the internet can be for no reason. Yeah, but just
shifting
like
gears.
Yeah,
you want to shift gears because we could go into specifically talking about like your feelings about accessibility features and things across the industry, but very specifically, like what are some accessibility features that you find most helpful in games if you use any?
With my like auditory processing stuff. And, you know, if I'm also doing something on the side, because, you know, I'm also neurodivergent. So, like, I've always got to be doing something. Yeah. I think there could be more. I think we're kind of in an age where, I guess, developers see that and they're trying to make changes. I think the biggest obstacle is the gaming community itself, because like you've seen how people reacted to, you know, like the Souls games, like, oh, you know, like you made the game easier, so like it's not worth it anymore. Like if people aren't good at this game, they shouldn't play it. But I mean, I feel like everybody should be able to play any game that they want to play. Yeah. Or like, hey, you know, like some people have visual like processing issues.
So, oh
like,
yeah.
The bright yellow paint on the ladder, or like on the box that you're supposed to break. Mm-hmm. Like that's, yeah. And people are just like, oh my God, they're making games easier. Like this is terrible. And it's like, it's not for you. Yeah. And then even people that don't have like, you know, visual process, it's like, yeah, well, I don't, you know, like back in the day, like sometimes like there'd be a rock face that you were supposed to climb, but it wasn't distinct enough. So like you'd be stuck in an area for hours and like you might not even be disabled. So like, I don't think it breaks immersion, but I mean, maybe that's just me.
For hours. My God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just, that's gaming, you know, like that is, you need some sort of intuitive process that gives you, okay, like you're kind of on the right track, but maybe it's a little more difficult. Okay. But it's not impossible because I remember playing Lara Croft Tomb Raider on the PlayStation and wandering around. And before I actually knew what Tomb Raider was about, I was in a cave. My cousin gave me the controller. I was running around. She got attacked by a bear and a tiger. And I did not know that that was a possibility. I started screaming. I pulled the controller out of the PlayStation, pulled the PlayStation out of the TV. Mm-hmm. And when I got my wits back about me, I plugged it back in. She was still getting fucking attacked. I said, you know what? And this is, and that was the birth of me never playing a single player game ever by myself again. People say, do you want to play? No, no, thank you. Massive? No, no, thank you. Do you want BioShock? No, 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 no. I won't be doing any of that.
You're
so right.
Yeah.
So difficult.
Yeah. I know that one cool thing that they've added to a lot of the games is the arachnophobia mode. Like some games that have the spiders that are scared of spiders, they have the mode where it's just like a ball and it just comes at you just like as a ball, which is pretty cool.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's good. I think they have Lethal Company's done a pretty good job of having a lot of mods. Like people kind of hopped on that pretty quickly, which is random, but also like good.
Yeah. So really, just I'm trying to think of. Let me go to my list. How has being able to, you know, or have been able to identify your neurodivergency and the things that you do, how have you been able to incorporate like your
it's learning
style
or
like your working style into your creative process, you know, when it comes to streaming or even with
talking
your pottery,
to like other, you know, people like kind of figuring out like, hey, like you probably have like autism or something, and then that kind of made things make more sense. Like with my pottery, like I'm more of a kind of like a mechanical hands-on person, not very good with, you know, visual art thing. So like I can do a lot of stuff on the wheel and it makes sense to me, or the fact that, you know, I have comfort games where I will play the same game over and over again, despite, you know, beating it like a million times. And it's like, you know, coming to terms or like at least learning like, hey, you're neurodivergent, so like everything you're doing, like it makes sense to you, it makes sense to people like you, so like you don't have to do like what everyone else is doing. Like you don't have to, like it's okay that you're not like super like high energy, super talkative, and that you just kind of do your own thing, because like that's you. There's people like you. There are people that will come and watch you because it's like you're like them and, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth, and that you don't have to, I guess, to mask, like, because I don't mask when I'm streaming. So like when I'm streaming, like I'm just me, and like,
yeah,
you know, learning from other people, like, hey, you know, like that's yeah. like that's normal, like you're just different. Like that's yeah. kind of helped me with nice. You know, streaming and pretty much a lot of other things, like makes things make sense, I guess. I don't know if that makes mm-hmm. sense, but yeah
it does.
Yeah,
no, it does. Absolutely. and I think also like what
for me
what do it you would feel be, like, so like would be you masking on stream, like if there was a part of you that was like, oh, like, I can't know, be myself, what do you feel like those
is like, you know, behaviors when would look get, like you know, raided or something, they're just like, oh my god, thank you so much for da, 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 da. I'm like, yeah, and it's like people expect that, but like that's not me, so like, and like I used to do that, but it was kind of, you know, exhausting because like that's like putting on that mask, like being, which I know that, you know, streaming mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. part being an entertainer, but like you also want to be yourself. Yeah. You want to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
So
kind mm-hmm. of.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly, I would challenge that. I would not say that streaming is about mm-hmm. entertainment either, because I feel like community is the most important part. And I have plenty of right. friends, plenty of days oh, yeah. where I know that I'm not being entertaining, mm-hmm. but we're doing a functional thing, a practical thing that needs to work for me, because body doubling is so important.
Yeah.
And I'm so mm-hmm. glad that I found co-working, because if I would have known about co-working when I was back in university, oh bitch, I would have been so, yeah. I would have been up. I would have been, I would have just been up. I would have been on top. I'm talking valedictorian. Yeah. I'm talking, we would have been thriving, not just surviving. That like all the things right. that the yeah. tools that we have at our disposal mm-hmm. now, my God, mm-hmm. Discord was developed the year after I graduated from university. Right. And that would have changed my college experience so much, because mm-hmm. I didn't party. I was like inside all the time. And my roommate came back one day and was mm-hmm. like, I feel like I haven't seen you. Girl, I'd be in this room. You the one that got a new boyfriend, and you out here gallivanting around the college town having the time of your life. That's okay. But I'd be in here. What you mm-hmm. talking about? And that would have changed my entire experience, right. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Ugh. What a life.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, I want to be happy for the younger students, but also yeah. you better be appreciative and grateful. You don't know what you weren't wouldn't last a day in these streets that I yeah. grew up on.
Yeah, very envious. Yeah, they got it good. And I know when I was when I officially got diagnosed with ADHD, I was 30. So it's like, right. fuck, if I would have known that when I was, yeah. I would have not been forcing myself to
right.
abide by what other folks were saying. Like when you study, you got to cram for 5 hours. You got to sit in front of that book and look at that book, and not feeling bad when I got distracted and was like, I can't look at this book no more. Let me do some random shit. And yeah. so mm-hmm. it's like that ability to have that knowledge and to be able to feel comfort in that is great, and not having yeah. to abide by what other fucking people yeah. are doing, man. Because like,
yeah, because yeah. general advice does not work exactly. when people,
no,
it doesn't. People will be like, well, why fuck don't no. you just do that? Cause, girl, because what do you mean? If I could have done that, I would have been and did it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Like, trust, I'm not trying to be in disarray. I'm not trying to live in chaos. Let me tell you, it's not yeah. something I seek out. I don't wake up in the morning and go, how can I make my life worse? Like,
yeah.
I think that's so insane.
Right.
Yeah. I had a boss at a job tell me, yeah, I know you got ADHD, but can you just try a little bit harder? And I was oh. like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I try my, I'm doing my damnedest. So it's just like that does it. It's like mm-hmm. people can't put themselves in your shoes, but you have to be like, okay, since they're doing this, like that's just, it's just putting it on and then taking it off at home. Like just today, I left work and I was like, I told my girlfriend, I was like, hey, I got to take it off. I need an hour of just laying on this couch with my eyes closed, because I was just had to be present minded and focused on this particular thing for 8 hours straight. I was in a seminar for 8 hours straight. So it's like, fuck. Yeah. White text, no, black text, white screen. That's all it was too. So it was just burning my brain. But yeah.
Hope it was a good seminar.
Yeah, it was. It was about ADA. It was ADA stuff, which is actually really great. Yeah. And like, yeah. So but Mick, you were saying that like you like to play a lot of games, like some of your favorite games, you like to play them over and over again.
Right.
What do you feel like some games, what games do you feel like you gravitate to during the summer?
I never really thought about specifically. It, but
are they associated by season? Are they associated by comfort? What is your summer strat for gaming?
I like to go back in. Well, lately I've been playing Sonic, so that's what I've been been doing. But I usually play go back to playing Mega Man, or like, I guess around, since my birthday's in the summer, I'll go and play like some Mega Man. It's like my favorite game. And it's one of those games where, you know, you don't really have to, you can just kind of turn your brain off and play. You can beat it in a couple of hours. Like, you don't have to spend, you know, days, weeks, months playing. Like, you can just play it and beat it in one sitting.
I never knew that.
Well, I feel like maybe you can beat it in one sitting, because that's just you. But no, that's dope. Like, you have that, like, it's like watching, I feel like that's, or sounds like watching your favorite movie. You're like, oh, I'm about to play Mega Man, and then I'm gonna go back. Yeah, that's dope. And so like, what what do you feel like, how do you feel like the gaming community could do, what could they do to better support folks with disabilities or gamers with disabilities?
Because I feel like
they have been taking the baby, like they've been making strides, but sometimes it feels like the baby steps. So like, what do you think were some other things they could do?
Just because like you don't like a feature, like say a game has like God mode or whatever, like you don't have to use that. Like,
yes.
So like, I don't understand like why you're pressed about it, because like you don't have to use the cheats. You don't have to turn on subtitles. Like you have the option to not use the feature that's there. And if people talk about, oh, well, you know, what if someone uses it to cheat, or what if someone uses it to, or them using it diminishes the experience. But, you know, that's their experience. It's their choice. Like, if someone wants to play a game on easy mode or turn on, like, audio like indicators, like that's how they play, that's what they need, like that's
for sure.
I'm gonna play on easy every time.
Yeah.
And some games you do gotta play on easy, man. I've been trying to replay, I've been trying to play Resident Evil, the first Resident Evil, for the first time.
Yeah.
Fuck that game, because it's complicated and it's just like over, just stupid. Man, like, just not stupid, but like just like, it's just unnecessary. Like, I only get to save a certain amount of times. Right. I only get a certain amount of ammo. I keep walking around this mansion. You got to burn the zombies, and you only get a certain amount of fuel. Like, what is this? What are we doing here? You know? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, but like Resident Evil 2 was great. Like, I played the remake of that. That was really great. I felt like that, like, yes, I did have to conserve my ammo and stuff like that, but it wasn't like overwhelming. And then, you know, and then I know that they have other modes where you can like get a bunch of ammo and stuff, which sounds amazing, because then you can just shoot everything, you know. The features and the way that people can access that have a good time playing a game should not be, there shouldn't be somebody over their shoulder like like micromanaging their experience. Like, that's weird.
You're not a real gamer if you don't play. Nobody cares. Shut up, boo. Tomato, tomato, bye. Yeah. You're sick, and we don't care.
Yeah.
Are there any like accessibility improvements or features you'd like to see more of in the gaming industry?
Like anything that you thought of and was like, oh, that's really cool. Where there's like the audio indicators, or it's like, oh yeah, the killer's near you, so like you can see your heart beating, or oh hey, like there's someone's running nearby, like you can see their footprint. So it's like, yeah, so like people that, you know, are hard of hearing or have auditory processing can play the games. I mean, I still think Dead by Daylight could do more things, like maybe add like a filter for people, because some of the killers can be overstimulating, or like, you know, like the doctor where you have like the flashing electricity, like that can be an issue for someone with photosensitivity. And yeah, I think more games could probably add more things like God mode as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because like I said, like you don't have to use the like accessibility features if you don't need them, but I don't think gaming should be like gate kept.
Like a challenge.
Just because you're good at a game doesn't mean that everybody has to be, you know, good or has to play the way that you. No. God mode is it. So like for instance, like Hades, if you use God mode, it makes it so that
God mode? Because God mode isn't like a harder mode, or is it something else?
Less damage, so like you're almost invincible. So like God mode in some games makes you invincible, so like you can play through and like you don't take damage, you don't die. You're pretty much invincible. Okay. Yeah. So like, you know, someone that might have like, you know, a physical disability or any sort of disability, or someone that's just not good at games in general and they just want to,
it's less of a struggle,
enjoy the game, like
good.
Like for instance, like Elden Ring, from what I've heard, has like a good story and stuff, but if you're not, you know, you don't have like the twitchy reflexes, like you can't play the game. So like that kind of bars, you know, lower skilled people or people with disabilities from playing and experiencing that story, which some games are starting to add like modes where it's like, oh yeah, if you want to focus on the story, we'll make it so that, you know, the encounters are easier, or if you like the mechanics of the game, you can make the game harder. So I think more games are being open to that, but I still think we're still pretty far behind, I think. Yeah. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't think we're anywhere near close, because I know there's quite a few. I think Xbox has a lot of, has done a lot of good progressive work. And I don't know. I don't think a lot of people really understand how forward thinking Xbox is for all that Microsoft is, because it's amazing to me that with cloud gaming, you literally just need a controller. You can play an Xbox game on your phone. Like that's nuts to me. And for someone who, you know, maybe needs to not be at the screen all day, maybe, you know, people who want to play the controller and play these classic games, like you can just take that anywhere. You can be comfortable. You don't have to be at a table. Like that's nuts. I don't know.
Yeah. And they support keyboard and mouse games now too. So there's some games that support keyboard and mouse. It's weird. It feels weird, but I've tried it and it's really dope. I know that with anything, especially like as us as Black people, we always have a community to build. Like we're all about community and all about building each other up. So how is like you being a part of like the Disabled Content Creators Collective and like the Cloud Cabin and Euphoria? How's that been for
pretty
you?
Pretty good. I know that like,
as building when that community and finding like-minded folks or folks who are experiencing the same things you're experiencing.
Kind of felt like an island, you know, maybe with a couple of friends, but then, you know, I met people like Chi-Chi and, you know, so on and so forth. And it's like, these are like my people. Like, and it's because of, you know, people like Chi-Chi, Asia, Lala, and so on and so forth that I get invited to things, and, you know, people consult me for things and so on and so forth. So it's like, we're all a big community and we're all, you know, consulting each other and making the space better, you know, since there wasn't, well, I can't say there wasn't anything like this before us, but a lot of people in this space are like trendsetters. So like they do things and then other people start doing things and then just things get better just from us existing, I guess.
Period.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The trendsetter aspect is great too, because if it is something that's like a positive, something that's infectious, that's positive, then it can like build upon making it a better space for everybody. And, you know, I would prefer more people be more positive and bite from each other on that. And rather than somebody like, oh, they stole my shit, I can't believe they stole it. You know, like really like build on like, yeah, like I like seeing that. I'm influencing people, pay it forward, you know, like do the thing that we do, you know, so.
Because captions weren't a thing for a while, you know what I mean? It's on streams. And it seems like I was making tweet after tweet, please put captions on your streams. You don't need to put them and you don't have to embed them, but make them an option. That's the literal least that you can do. And even if it's not right all the time, it gives it's still a work in progress. It's better than you saying, ah, I don't want those at all. You know? And I think whenever I consider any type of situation, I always consider like who is the most harmed, who is the most vulnerable in a situation, because usually those people need the most resources, they need the most help. And so I feel like the streaming space in general, especially along that point of like people are very interesting in the streaming space, is like people are either very quick to judge or they're slow to understand. And it really should be the opposite, you know what I mean? Because of how many perspectives we have, there's no way we're all going to think the same thing. And that, that inherently is okay. But we do need to have some standards, right? You know, we need to have some collective things that we're like, this is bad. Unionizing gaming might be a really good thing to prevent these fucking layoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we can't band together for a lot of stuff. It's hard.
Unions are great in every industry. I wish every industry had a fucking union. People it seems like a lot of people are afraid to be wrong or not seem like I guess like aware of certain things and like take that ownership of like, oh, I didn't know that, I appreciate you educating me on that or put me onto that. Like, I'm gonna do some more research and definitely come back and, you know, reapproach. And I think that that fear of being a person that says, I don't know, to something and seeming like they don't want to feel like they're like, I guess a plain way to say it, is stupid, which is like, you're not,
or like behind or something.
And it's not stupid. It's just, you just weren't, it just wasn't in your purview. Wasn't in your circle, but now it is. So now that you know better, you got to do better. So,
I'll never chastise somebody for not knowing something. I will chastise you for not being accountable. Like, for sure. You didn't for know. Sure. Now you do. Now what?
Yeah.
Now you know, now what? And in some ways, I know people will be like, I wish you didn't tell me, so I didn't have to. Well, too bad. Like, that's a part of our human experience. Like, we have to care about each other more. It's not going to work if we don't.
Facts.
That's
true.
But now this summer or this fall, are you going to be going to any conventions, anything like that, anything on the agenda for IRL steps?
To go, but that was, I think, maybe like 2 or 3 days ago.
Damn.
When did they announce that?
That's
insidious.
That's insidious.
Yeah, right. You wouldn't know. You ain't got a man. TwitchCon is an arm and a leg. Like,
I'll try to go next.
Like,
year,
it's so expensive.
So then you just expect me to scrape up some money in a month and a half and get my ass on down there? Y'all are sick. Okay, listen, we can all plan for next year. We can plan like our small, like not TwitchCon, you know what I mean? depending on where it is, if it's back over there, and then we can all just do little cute stuff with people that we know are vaccinated and are going to be masking, using hand sanitizer. Like, I just, you know, taking elderberry. You know, some things we just need to be doing.
Elderberry.
Something.
Right.
Something.
Yeah.
Everybody. It's driving me nuts.
Every person, when they, and for every attendee, they get a free box of emergency. Like, that's what we do. We want your immune system to be at its highest.
Emergency and apparently deodorant.
I heard about, apparently DreamCon, they had, and it was some stinky people at DreamCon. So.
Apparently.
And it was some weirdos out there. Some people assaulting folks, too. So.
Oh, what a time. DreamCon. Yeah. Unfortunate. That's a whole nother episode, I'm sure. Me personally, I'm terrified of being stinky in public. No, that's not true. I wouldn't say I'm terrified. Mm-hmm. Like, because if I'm like in gym attire, I go to the gym, you know, I'm stinky. It is what it is. You know the vibes. Mm-hmm. You know what's going on. But for me to look like my normal self and still be emitting gym odor, oh God. I would. Yeah. Oh no, I can't take that. Send me into an agony.
My biggest fear is somebody being like, "Y'all smell that?" And it'd be me, and it'd be like, "Oh no, oh, no. Right. Oh, it is me." You're like, I'm using it. You gotta make up excuses. I'm just using something more natural, y'all. That's what it is. I gotta go back to
it's aluminum free.
Gotta go back to the aluminum, okay.
And honestly, some people do, and we have to think about that. You only have one life to live.
Yeah.
When are you good? You don't need to preserve. Me personally, I'm not trying to live any longer than I'm supposed to live. I don't know about y'all. I'm exhausted every day. So, people be like, "Oh, you're depressed, probably." you know, but I'm living. So, you know, it's fine.
You said you wow. You. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might be depressed. Hey, you might be on to something right there, though.
Yeah. What? You're cooking.
Yeah. I ain't never thought about that.
What am I going to do about it? You're nothing. You're right. Same thing I've been doing. Yeah. Playing League of Legends and going to bed on time. That's all I can do.
That's not depression. That's peace.
Let's see. Well, going to bed on time is peace. Mario and Luigi game.
It is. It is.
Make any games you're looking forward to that's coming out the rest of this year?
There's the Dragon Ball Z fighting game that's coming out, I think, in
October. Yeah.
Yes. and then the Zelda game that's coming out. It's like Echoes of Wisdom.
Sparking Zero.
Zelda. It's like in the same style as the Link's Awakening remake.
Yeah.
What Zelda game? Like,
kind of like little chibi.
Yep.
Kind of almost like they're also made out of clay.
Yeah. That shit looks cool. And it looks like they incorporated a lot of Tears of the Kingdom, Breath of the Wild elements of just like building your own pathways and, like, you know, getting a lot of freedom for folks to, you know, figure out solve puzzles in any way they want. It was a shame. I'm actually mad at Nintendo because they announced, "Oh, you get to play as Link too." I wanted to be like, "Fuck that! Just make the whole game about Zelda, bro." Like we got enough stories about Link. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We can't play for as Zelda one time, just straight up. Like,
my God, damn.
Yeah. All right, Mick, we're getting close to the end of the episode. And so this is the time where we have the guests give off some words of wisdom, advice, and positive affirmations to the listeners. We are going to take a step back and let you give off some affirmations or some mantras you like to chant to yourself every day.
Aww.
Yeah. One-on-one. Limited edition.
Your affirmation today?
Mm-hmm. My affirmation? It's okay to have an okay day.
Period.
You know? And it's okay to have a shit day. Be like, "Hey, this day was shit." You know? So,
Yeah. That's good. My affirmation for today is to live a life you love. I think in this season of my life, post-divorce, I have been feeling very unsettled because of the separation of a person I was with for half my life is like, the codependency was so real. And now I'm like, oh my God, like I wake up and the sun is shining on my face. And that's such a huge difference, because the person I was with did not like the sunshine. They wanted the room to be dark. So I compromised for a long, long time. Like, I mean, a long, long time. There was never any other, there was never a switching between it. And I didn't realize how much that was affecting me. And now when like I wake up and the sun is shining and like birds are chirping in my backyard and things like that, I'm like, oh my God, I wake up like a princess. It's so cute. But starting my day off right is really so integral to me having a better, more well-rounded day.
Sure. That's beautiful. That's some beautiful shit. That sounds bad that you just like, I like sun. And it was like, no, I don't like the sun. And you just like, no sun. Like y'all couldn't do like half 3 days sun, 2 days no sun.
You know what? That would have been so reasonable and loving and sweet and indicative of a person who cares about another person. Yes, that would have been so great. You're so right.
I mean, I don't know what y'all story was, sis, but that should have been a red flag.
Oh yeah. When he said there were so many. In fact, people were throwing them by the bucketfuls. but you know, I was being DeLulu, because I was like, divorce is not the Salulu until it had to be.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Now you live in your best life.
Now I live a life that I love.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Beautiful story.
Where can the listeners find you?
Yeah,
Mick, would be what?
I was going to say, this. Your story sounds like what Tyler Perry should make, but he doesn't.
You're actually so insidious for that. That was so wow. Tyler Perry, catch your strikes. And you know what? And that's totally fine. That complex he built in Atlanta wasn't
that,
doing nothing.
That
needed
billionaire
to do.
Gonna call people highbrow Negroes. Nigga, you's rich.
You're like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't understand. I don't understand what we're saying here. Oh, you're rich off of the audience that you are serving. And you're talking about a highbrow Negro. None of us are highbrow Negroes. We are all growing. And you are not, Tyler. And what's the reason for that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Have we seen a progression? No.
I think before we ask Mick about their social media platforms and stuff. My theory is that Tyler Perry had the first iteration of ChatGPT and just kept putting in there, write a script about black women being in pain. It just kept getting them put out there.
Yes, yes.
Like
he
started the first one. I think he might be open. He might be open GPT.
Find me
honestly
on Twitch. You know, fantastic.
Mick, where can the people find you on the social platforms, and where can they expect when they tune into
the void
streams?
Aaron _ Von _. But and for my streams, I do variety. And I just talk a lot. And sometimes I don't talk. Sometimes I just play games and vibe.
Yeah,
thank you for inviting me.
Yes, you should. You play a lot of retro.
Beautiful.
Nice.
Yes.
That's so exciting. Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. And we're excited to chat with you.
Yeah.
On this last day of Disability Pride Month. That's so insane, actually.
Yeah, it is.
So cute.
Yeah. Asia, where can people find you?
Wow, you can follow me at Call Me Asia everywhere. That's Asia with a Z, and on Twitter it's with an _ at the end, because there's a girl from 2012 who won't deactivate her fucking account. But other than that, I'm on Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, Twitch. I'm not bitter about it. And anywhere else that people are getting social threads. I'm actually doing a lot on threads. I don't know. It feels like Twitter used to feel for me, and it's nonsensical and a word vomit of every single thought that I have post young adulthood, as I feel like I'm getting into my regular adulthood from The Sims.
Yeah.
Where can they find you?
Oh, yeah. You can find me personally at Black Lumberjack on Twitter. That's Black with 2 C's. I have to reiterate this. I am not a Crip. okay? It's just two C's in black. Lumberjack is spelled the same way. Yeah. Also, just follow the podcast, you know, follow and find me on the podcast. You can find the podcast at Blackspiration on Twitter, Blackspiration Pod on Instagram, Blackspiration on Twitch. We're going to do a lot more Twitch streaming for those who, the one person that's listening, shout out to you right now. I see you live. We live. I see you in here. appreciate you. So we're going to be doing a lot more of the podcast live on Twitch. And then also you can catch our episodes on YouTube, all your streaming platforms. We listen to podcasts.
Wherever you listen to your podcast, that's where we'll be.
And yes, thank you for tuning into this episode of Blackspiration Podcast. As always, be happy, drink some water, keep gaming, and I hope you left this episode feeling inspired.
Yay!
Peace!